Morning, kids. I'm going to ask Bo and Macy to come up and be my visual displays for everybody. So turn around. You guys see something that maybe is noteworthy from Bo and Macy? Anybody? Maybe what they're wearing? Zane? Yeah, their shirts are huge, aren't they? So I want you guys to remember this visual here as I go through the talk, and I'll explain it in a little bit. All right, thanks, guys. Yeah, but you need to keep your shirt on for the visual for all the kiddos. I want to take this opportunity to thank the members of Goldthwaite for all their hard work and effort. This gathering is such a great gathering every year. We certainly look forward to coming out to this gathering. It's very important for our kids to grow up around these gatherings, and we're so thankful for the Goldthwaite Ecclesia for all the efforts in putting it on. The Bible tells us to remember these things. We hear the word remember a lot in the Bible, and this title of this talk is In the Days of Thy Youth, and it is from a talk written by our brother Gibson. We want to look into this today, and it won't be hard, but we'll need to remember Bo and Macy wearing these shirts that were too big for them. But here's what we want to look at today. We want to look at what are the stages of life. Number two, we'd like to look at roles that are mentioned in the Bible. And number three, we'd like to mention the world around us and how it can affect us. First, the stages in life. We'd like to say there are what we call stages in life. And depending on whom you talk to, the number might vary. But generally speaking, there are four stages in life. And that is birth, youth, adulthood, and retirement. And what we'd like to focus on today is that youth stage. As Brother Gibson defines it, youth is a condition of being young, or that period which continues until the attainment of full growth that is in the process of growth, or not old. The youth stage, your stage, is so important because it's the most impressionable period of our lives. Have you ever heard the phrase, knowledge brings responsibility? You guys heard that before? Can I get a reader for this verse? Any volunteers? Kai, you want to read it for me? It's James 4:17. Very good. I appreciate that. And the word we want to focus here is knoweth. This word knoweth is important. To him that knoweth to do good. So you have to know to do right to be able to be held accountable for it. For it to be your fault, or for you to be in trouble for it, you have to know that it's wrong. And knowledge brings this responsibility. In the days of your youth, you're learning more as you grow. You know more than the early stage, the birth stage of life, but you don't know quite as much as the adult stage. Brother Gibson in his talk says that the things that we learn at your stage of life, whether they are good or bad, will have a big influence on your later years. Brother Gibson uses this word influence. Do we know what this word means? You know what influence means? Anybody want to tell us what influence means? Macy? Kind of. Let's look at this example. If I said hi to you, what would you say? Hi. Right. You'd say hi back. And we've been influenced by someone telling us that when someone says hi to us, we say hi back. It's the polite response in the situation. If we're influenced, we feel like it's okay to do something, or that we need to do something. We have to be very careful with this thing called influence, because sometimes it's very subtle. That means sometimes we're learning to do something and we don't even realize it. We never stop learning. But in your age, you're learning more than you ever will about choices and responsibility to make these right choices. And the Bible talks a lot about responsibility. We all have roles that result from these responsibilities. Adults have lots of responsibilities. I have a lot of responsibilities myself. I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I'm the spiritual leader of our household. Sister Amanda, my wife, has a responsibility of being a wife and a mother, amongst others. We both have responsibility to raise our kids in the truth. What about kids, you guys? Do you have a responsibility, you think? Anybody want to volunteer? Patty? Yeah, to do your part, right. Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." You guys have the responsibility or role of obeying your parents. And with our roles as parents, the very important role of disciplining our kids or correcting them comes along with that responsibility. We have the responsibility to discipline our children when they do not obey. And it's one of the most important duties that a parent has. Can I get a reader for this? Proverbs 13:24. We can get Bo involved.
"Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him."
Right, diligent to discipline him. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. It's part of truly loving your child as a parent. Sometimes it's hard to understand growing up, but your parents truly love you, or they would not be correcting and disciplining you. It's something that isn't very fun as a parent, but parents that truly love their kids know how important it is for their kids to be accountable. Have you ever heard your parents, when they're disciplining you, say, "This is hurting me a lot more than it's hurting you"? When you have kids of your own, you really will know what this means. But it is never super enjoyable. But in my role as a parent, it's important to keep the focus that we are all on this journey to the kingdom together. And I have a responsibility to influence my children to make the right choices to learn obedience. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9 says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently," there's that word diligently, "unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and that they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates." So here in Deuteronomy, Moses was telling Israel to teach their children constantly and to have the commandments of God everywhere. On their hands, on their doorposts, on their clothing, so that they would influence them to make the right choices. Why do we think that Moses was telling them to write commandments everywhere? To influence them to make the right choices, we know. But why else do you think that they needed to write them everywhere so that they would see them? Why do we think that this happened? Anybody else besides my kiddos? I'd like to get somebody else involved if they're willing. Why do you think that? Anybody? All right, Macy, what you got?
So it'll get in their head and they'll remember it?
That's exactly right. That's right. I didn't prep my kids before this, but they seem to have all the right answers. Good job. So That's exactly what I'm looking for. So that's exactly right. So that they would remember. You know, we have the title of this talk, In the Days of Thy Youth, and it comes from the verse in the Bible in Ecclesiastes that says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And it mentions to remember thy creator in the days of your youth because it's so easy to forget the commandments. And unfortunately, we live in a world that doesn't remember our creator. Have you guys heard the term humanism by chance? Humanism is it's an outlook or system or thought attaching prime importance to human rather than divine or supernatural matters. Humanist beliefs stress the potential value and goodness of human beings, emphasize common human needs, and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems. There's a lot there, a lot of kind of confusing words, but we started this talk speaking about stages of life. And babies, we know, are completely dependent on their parents to function, and adults are independent or not in need of someone, you know, for all their needs. They rely less on others. The truth teaches us that in every stage of life, we are totally dependent on God. This is something that we learn and continually have to remember. The world around us has gotten further and further away from this. They think that they do not need God, and humanism is what this is, not depending on God and the truth that the Bible teaches. The Bible says in Jeremiah, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps, and that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? These verses that we see in Jeremiah teach us that man left to himself will fail. That is, man that is not trying to follow instructions for life that we find in the Bible and know who we owe it all to, the author of the Bible, our Creator. What's the greatest commandment that we find in the Bible? Anybody know that before we turn the slide? Anybody else? What about a reader? Can I get a reader for this, the greatest commandment? All right, Zane. Right, so that's the first commandment. It's the greatest commandment that we find written in the Bible. Does anybody know how we show God that we love him? Addie? Yeah, that's a big part of it, by studying his word so that we can what? What do we do after we study? Yeah, Lydia.
Loving others.
Absolutely. That's very important to this. You know, we show God that we love him by loving others and serving others. So we show God that we love him by following his commandments. We see that in 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So humanism, or this world's teachings, is the exact opposite of this. That we do not need to make God happy by following his commandments. That we should just do what we feel is right. That we should just believe what we think is right and to associate or live with others that are doing the same thing, what they think is right. We all have to know that this is nothing new. There may be a newer name on it called humanism. But this influence has been around from the foundation of the world. You guys remember what the serpent told Eve in the garden, the Genesis account in the beginning of the Bible? Yeah, Mason. What's that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he convinced them to eat the fruit or to sin and do what God told them not to do, right? We see in Genesis 3:4, he says that the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die from eating the fruit," right? "For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." The serpent, that is the world, told Eve that you've been tricked, that you won't suffer the consequences from doing wrong, but you will get what God is keeping from you. This is how the world sees the truth. They think that the commandments and the roles and responsibilities that we see in the scriptures are keeping them from happiness or what they deserve. But we know that happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth true understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. And earlier in the same proverb we see, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." Our understanding and learning and wisdom comes from making mistakes and being held responsible for those mistakes. So we are not influenced. There's that word influence that we've been talking about, right? So that we are not influenced to think that it's okay to not obey our parents who are teaching the commandments that we find written in the Bible. That's the only thing that leads to true happiness: fearing God and following his commandments. The world's influence is that you can find happiness another way, by serving your own self, and you get to grow up and choose what gender you want to be. That is, you can be a boy when you're a girl, or a girl when you're a boy. That you can choose to be homosexual. That you can choose to not obey your parents. And the truth is that kids are influencing their parents instead of parents influencing their kids. Do you guys know what marketing is? Have y'all heard the term marketing before? It's marketing is how companies sell things. It's what they do to sell you something, that process of selling you something. And it could be an advertisement, a colorful picture in a magazine or on Facebook or the internet, or a big billboard that makes you think something good from what you see on the billboard and influences you to buy their product. It could be someone coming on the radio and saying, "If you want to be like me, you'll use this product, like toothpaste or something." I studied marketing in college, and I don't use it every day in my job, but it really interests me. And we can look at marketing and see how much kids are making decisions for their families. In 1983, way before you guys were born, back in 1983, companies spent $100 million marketing to kids. And today, can anybody guess how much do you think companies spend every year on marketing to kiddos? If you had to guess. What do you think, Bo?
3.2 million?
I appreciate you guessing, but we started with $100 million in 1983. Today, nearly $17 billion gets spent every year on marketing to kids. That's 170 times what they spent back in 1983. And marketing firms and advertisers are looking to a younger demographic. Increasing targeting tweens, that's ages of 8 to 12, right before you're a teenager, and even younger children. And these kids have huge control over the flow of parents' spending. And statistics show that 8 to 12-year-olds spend $30 billion of their own money each year and influence another $150 billion of their parents' spending. This shows us that the world is moving away from the correct roles that we talked about earlier. The role of the child has changed to influencing the family's decisions. Companies wouldn't spend $17 billion, and that's billion with a B, if it wasn't effective. We talked earlier about these being the most influential years of your life. And we as adults cannot let the sparkling things of this world influence you guys. But we cannot tell you enough that just how much the pull that the world has on you. Everywhere you look, the world is trying to influence you, influencing you into making decisions that you are too young to make. Not only does the world pull us away from God, it makes us grow up too fast. Remember our example from earlier, Bo and Macy up here with shirts too large for themselves, wearing adult clothing? You wouldn't wake up tomorrow and go into your parents' closets and grab their clothes and put them on, right? Right. It's so easy to see that we wouldn't do that. The problem is with the world is that younger and younger youth are put into positions to make adult choices every day. In 1 John, we see, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Have you ever heard that the grass is greener on the other side? Y'all heard that expression before? Have you ever passed a cow on the side of the road with a huge field behind it, and he's scraping up his neck on the fence trying to reach the other side of the field to get that greener grass? And it just knows that the grass on the other side is got to be better, because he's not allowed to eat it. What these verses in 1 John that we just saw, what these verses are talking about is that our flesh and our eyes, what we see, our pride tells us that things must be better when we're not allowed to do them. And we see this in the world. Kids doing adult things and just not being able to wait until they become adults. When have you ever seen a teenager wanting to be a little kid? We never see that, right? But here is what we do see. Millions of unhappy adults that grew up way too fast, that made adult choices when they were too young to understand the consequences of their actions and wish they could go back and make better choices. Your role as youth growing up in the truth is to understand it as the blessing that it is. It is truly a blessing growing up in the truth. Your peers around you in the world may appear like they're eating greener grass, but that life leads to unhappiness. Growing up in the truth allows you to learn the true way of happiness, that there are responsibilities and roles that we all have. And true happiness is from learning those responsibilities and roles and doing them. Our jobs as parents are to put you into situations that you'll make the right choices. But here's the thing. Your parents are not around all the time. Your role, your job, is to remember the truth and what you've been taught and choose to limit your exposure to the negative influences around you. If a book you're reading says something inappropriate, put it down. If someone you're with says a bad word, ask them to stop or stop hanging around with that person. And so on and so forth. The bottom line is, if what you're doing leads to a bad influence, don't do it. So we can break it down into some takeaway points. Number one, know that your parents love you and truly want what's best for you. Number two, there are different stages in life. Your stage or time of life is the most influential. Number three, our roles are from our responsibilities, and our responsibilities are from the Bible. The Bible talks about responsibility and roles. What we all have to do as we're growing up is to learn our role and to get better at our role each day by following God's commandments. Number four, the world is the exact opposite of the truth. The world's teachings are directly opposite of what the truth teaches. Number five, doing the right thing is unpopular. The right choice will never be popular around the world. Know that you will be different than your peers in the world. And if you have a big social circle outside of the ecclesia that you fit right into, maybe you need to change some things. Number six, be content in whatever state you're in. You will get the responsibilities of being an adult when you are an adult, but don't rush. That's what we're going to end with. Sunday school scholars, life is the time to serve the Lord, to do His will, and to learn His word. We have to look forward to tomorrow, that is the kingdom, while doing all that we can today. We don't rush through our youth to adulthood. We never stop growing and learning, and we must all surround ourselves with the truth. And these gatherings are so special. And they're so special because it allows us to form bonds with friends that will outlast those in the world. It's special because it's a break from our duties and responsibilities that we have in the world. But above all, it allows us to remember the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made so that all this is possible. A life learning God's commands, following those commands, so that one day we all, through His grace, may serve Him forever in His soon coming kingdom, and hopefully all together. So young guys and gals, be content with the stage of life that you're in. We have to never be content with what we know and the truth. Always learning from our mistakes, but ever careful to hold on to that energy that you have right now in your life. Let us grow up spiritually by using all your energy, effort, and time now, so that we may be a part of that age to come, that age that we'll never grow old in. Thanks for listening to me today.